Welcome to Nuanced Judaism, coming to you from OU Torah.
I'm Simi.
And I am Rivka.
Okay, Rivka, this one's for you.
Okay.
We're coming up to Lag BaOmer.
Yes.
What would you say to someone about, I don't know, some sort of different perspective on Lag BaOmer? Because people know about Rashbi, people know about Kabbalah, and people know about the students ceasing to die, and it's a day of celebration. But if you were going to add another dimension to it, that if someone else, let me put it this way perhaps, if someone else had to give a little presentation on this topic, what would you advise them to talk about?
Interesting. I actually don't know how much people know about the words you just said. Rashbi, fire, or you didn't even say the dancing around the fire, people stopping to die. I think it's a big mush and a big hodgepodge in people's minds. I actually don't think people know what Lag BaOmer is commemorating. That's just my opinion. So maybe let's give some background, and then we'll discuss some of the meaning.
All right, go for it.
Okay, so Lag BaOmer is basically commemorating two ideas, two people that lived in the same time. One was the student of the other. One was Rabbi Akiva, lived in Second Temple, right after Second Temple time, had an amazing life. An ignoramus until he was 40, went out, studied, supported by his wife 24 years, became the head of the entire community, watched his 24,000 students die by either a plague or the Bar Kokhba revolt or whatever, then rebuilt and sunk his knowledge into five students. One of them was the second person that we're talking about, Rashbi, or Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He then supported Bar Kokhba, said he was the Mashiach. He was wrong. Bar Kokhba turned, you know, not so great. So he was heartbroken by that again, picked himself back up, finally killed horribly by the Romans. So a very strong and amazing life. Rashbi was his student, his star student, one of the five. He is known as bringing Kabbalistic tradition into this world. He fled the Romans, lived for 12 years with his son in a cave, learning the mystical traditions, supported food, water by miraculous means. He then emerged after 12 years, saw the world and saw it in such a black and white way. I mean, think about it. You go and you're a recluse for 12 years, just learning Torah. Everything that isn't sublimely holy is just horrible. So he started zapping people with his eyes.
Zapping people with his eyes.
It says, you can take this literally, you can take it metaphorically. He was not tolerant, put it that way. And God tells him to get back in the cave. It's interesting. He has to go back into the same cave for another year. And then he comes out and is indifferent to the people.
Indifferent? What do you mean indifferent?
He kind of goes to his son and says, don't worry about all these other people, because of you and me, the world is sustained. He turns indifferent. He says to his son, don't worry about all the others. Because of you and me, the world is sustained. So kind of that separation between him and the rest of humanity.
So suppose you could say the first stage is this attack on humanity because it isn't quite him. The second level is like, Nebuch, it's not there, but we exist, so it's enough.
Yes. And the third one is then when he actually interacts with somebody. So they're walking down the street. They see a simple man, not a man of their stature, but a simple man holding two bunches of greenery, taking it home. And they ask him, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm taking this home for Shabbat. And why two? One for Shamor, to guard the day, and one for Zachor, to remember the day, which is two commandments talking about Shabbat in the Torah. And Rashbi finds peace with the world and finds beauty in the world. And I think this is such an amazing story because he was in the cave for 12 years and he had to go back into that very same cave, that source of wisdom, if you will, for another year to learn how to be in the world. And sometimes that same wisdom can be destructive in the world, and that same wisdom can teach you humility. It depends how you learn it or how advanced you are. It's usually the people who are not that advanced that become haughty, and the true masters that are humble, because then they realize that they don't actually know everything.
Interesting, interesting, because I would also like to, perhaps you could take it a bit further. It's not so much that humility allowed him to come to peace with the world. Perhaps there was an aspect of getting in the cave for longer that actually he was able to recognize the necessity of the world. That God's presence can only truly be manifest with the chap with his flowers.
All different levels. And it's not just the highest of the Kabbalistic level. It's everybody is needed. Yeah, it's that added wisdom. And I've seen that not just in Jewish wisdom, but in all wisdom. You have the layman that thinks he knows, and there will be a certain, not arrogance, but a certain, this is the way you do it. You see it a lot in psychology. You have people who are very into a certain type of psychology, and then this is the only thing that will help anybody truly. And then you have a really, like a clinical psychologist, or someone who really...
Can I just jump in there? You're talking first, just to really draw the parallel out. The type of person who finds out about a new trendy psychological technique or a new type of therapy, they look at it as being literally the word of God, and anybody who doesn't do it needs to be burned, metaphorically with their eyes, obviously. But my point being, you can see, it's actually, by the way, the parallel's not that bad. People who get into a specific form of wisdom, they literally have crazy eyes.
I hear what you're saying. There is the new self-help book that is going to change everybody tomorrow. There's the new investment that you're silly for not investing in it. There's a new type of sports regime.
There's the new type of pyramid scheme that your neighbor thinks that without you getting involved in this, then...
Exactly. And with crazy eyes, I know what you mean. It's when somebody looks at you so intensely that they just want you to see the light finally. And then... if that person would go back and learn the subject properly, learn the investment actually from the ground up, and learn the psychology or learn the pyramid scheme really properly and become an absolute master, I would venture to say they would calm down. They might still hold that it's the best thing since sliced bread, but the crazy eyes would disappear because they realize it's not perfect, just like everything else is not perfect.
They realize the gray in the world. They realize the
fact that the reason why I use psychology, although it's true for other things as well, is because the wisdom that comes from knowing psychology and learning psychology deeply is that you might still have your favorite module to use. Let's say you're a psychologist. You might still have your favorite model to use, but you know that the human psyche is too deep and too complex to use only one thing. So it's not that you changed your mind on what you think is valuable. It's that you have a respect for different flavors of people. Same as Rashbi, knowing the Kabbalah and knowing his fiery, beautiful, sustaining Torah, but then going back in and becoming a true master and then coming out and realizing that people are different. He might still hold, he still thinks that his Torah is the be all and end all. It sustains the world. I don't doubt that. But this man with his two bunches of greenery has a place in the world because of the person, the soul is different.
Interesting, interesting. So let me recap that. So you've got the story of Rashbi, the stages of going into a cave and then going out of the cave, then having to return to that very cave. And I like that diok that you've added there.
It's not a different cave.
It's the same cave. He learns what he learns just better. And after the 13th year, he emerges and he's able to appreciate the necessity of the world and the dignity of difference in other people.
Very good, very good. Right, okay, so how does this have to do with Lag BaOmer? So the first story was Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Rashbi's teacher. And they say that on Lag BaOmer, the students stopped dying. So it became a celebration. That's a little bit difficult to understand. Why do we celebrate stopping to die? However, the second reason is a bit more compelling, I personally find, is that it's Rashbi's day of his death, which in Jewish law is a bigger deal than birthdays. Because when someone's born, there's actually a beautiful mashal, is that being born and dying is like a ship departing and coming back. And if you're in a harbor and you're watching a ship leaving, you're watching it with hope and good wishes, but you're not celebrating. You don't know if the ship's going to be beset by pirates, is going to sink. When a ship comes back full of spices, full of trade, that's when you're celebrating. So we as Jews, we celebrate a life well lived, a life that was brought back to God full of its splendor. So
in general, we don't celebrate yahrzeits.
Actually, we do. We do Ilui Nishmas. We do yahrzeits. Of course we do. When we celebrate my grandmother's yahrzeit, we make a celebratory meal. It's a little bit subdued, and you talk about her life.
We're dancing around a fire.
Okay, so one minute. That's specifically because Rashbi requested his day to be celebrating, etc. Yeah. And the fire is because the Torah he brought down was not the Torah of Moshe, was not the Torah of water, so to speak, which comes from top down. You know, water like rain, or it sustains you, like the five books of Moses. It was more the Torah of fire, which is something that you're discussing and you hash out and you try to wrap your head around, and it lights you up, it heats you up, and it can also destroy you. This type of Torah fire, the Kabbalistic Torah Shebaal Peh type of Torah, which is a different conversation altogether, the two types of Torah.
Okay, nice. So to recap, perhaps, you've got the two stories, Rabbi Akiva and you have Rashbi. Rabbi Akiva, the resilience, the fortitude. Rashbi, the growth, the learning, the development that took place.
What's
and that? The parallel to life might be, if we dare to say, that if a person has